Good morning. In our first lesson, we saw where Peter included baptism as part of his apostolic preaching. He commanded the people at Pentecost to be baptized, Acts 2, verse 36 through 38. He commanded the household of Cornelius to be baptized in Acts chapter 10, verse 47 and 48. From the accounts in Acts, we saw that for Peter, baptism was for the remission of sins, Acts 2, 38, and an act that involved water, Acts 10, verse 47. But one might properly ask, was Peter teaching that baptism was for the forgiveness of sins and therefore necessary for salvation, that one is saved by baptism in water? Fortunately, we do not have to wonder, for in his first epistle, Peter wrote, "There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ," 1 Peter 3:21. As stated in the King James, baptism doth also now save us. But while teaching that baptism saves us, Peter is careful to explain in what way. Let's take a closer look at the text to see what Peter is saying about baptism. First of all, we want to define antitype. The Greek word is anatupin, which means a thing formed after some pattern, that which corresponds to a type. So you have two things that somehow relate or correspond to each other. One is a type, the other is the antitype. How baptism is an antitype. In the text, the waters of the flood are the type and the waters of baptism are the antitype, 1 Peter 3:20 and 21. In his commentary, Albert Barnes says, "The meaning here is that baptism corresponds to or had a resemblance to the water by which Noah was saved, or that there was a use of water in the one case which corresponded in some respects to the water that was used in the other, to know in effecting salvation." The apostle does not say that it corresponded in all respects. In respect, he said, for instance, to quantity or to the manner of the application or to the efficacy. But there is a sense in which water performs an important part in our salvation as it did in his. Thus Peter was comparing Noah's salvation with our own. Remember that Noah was saved by grace, Genesis 6, verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was saved by faith, Hebrews 11, verse 6, by faith Noah. He was saved by water, 1 Peter 3, verse 20, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Grace was God's part. Faith was Noah's part. Water was simply an element by which God carried out his plan to save Noah. So, we're saved by grace, Ephesians 2, verse 5, for by grace are you saved. We are saved by faith, Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. We are saved by water, 1 Peter 3, 21, the like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us. Grace is God's part. Faith is our part. Baptism is simply an element by which God carries out his plan to save us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because baptism in water is somehow related to our salvation, Peter could speak of it as an antitype that saves us, just as Noah and his family were saved through water. How can this be? Aren't we saved by the blood of Jesus? Of course we are. The answer can be seen as we continue to note what Peter taught concerning baptism. Baptism saves through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Salvation in baptism is not found in the water, as Peter makes it clear when he says, "Not the removal of the filth of the flesh." For indeed, it is only through the blood of Jesus Christ one can be saved. We are justified through his blood, Romans 5, verse 9. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1, verse 7. To this, Peter would definitely agree. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver or gold, from your vain conversation received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Salvation in baptism is possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If he had not been raised from the dead, we would still be in our sins. As Paul declares in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, "Without his resurrection, his death would have been meaningless. But because Jesus was raised from the dead, those baptized into his death can rise to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, verse 4. Those united together in the likeness of his death, baptism, can share in the power of his resurrection, Romans 6, verse 5. In other words, the same power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is what saves us in baptism so we can be made alive. Colossians 2, verse 12 and 13, Paul writes, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses." By God's saving grace and resurrecting power, then baptism can indeed save us, not because of any cleansing power in the water, but because of what God is doing at that moment through the blood of Jesus and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, Titus 3, verse 4 and 5. But notice finally how Peter teaches that baptism saves us because baptism is an appeal for a good conscience. The answer of a good conscience. A difficult phrase, but it most likely means an appeal to God for a clear conscience. This is supported by the following translations. The craving for a conscience right with God, Goodspeed's translation. Moffat says, the prayer for a clean conscience before God. Rotherham, the request unto God for a good conscience. The RSV, the Revised Standard, an appeal to God for a clear conscience. An appeal to God for a good conscience, New American Standard Version. Thus, one is baptized because they desire a clear conscience to have their sins forgiven. This coincides with the evident purpose of baptism. In apostolic preaching, baptism was commanded for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, to have one's sins washed away, Acts 22, verse 16. In New Testament times, people who realized they were sinners were anxious to be baptized as soon as possible, Acts chapter 8, verse 35 through 38. Therefore, one is baptized to have a good conscience before God, indeed to have their conscience purged by the blood of Christ, Hebrews 9, 14, to have their sins washed away by blood of Jesus, and so they can rise to a new life through the same power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. Does baptism save us? Many say baptism does not save us, but Peter clearly taught baptism doth also now save us. How does baptism save us? According to Peter, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, an appeal for a good conscience. This helps us to understand why he commanded it for the remission of sins in Acts 2, verse 38 on the day of Pentecost. Why he commanded it even for those who had in some sense received the Spirit in Acts chapter 10, verse 47 and 48. Yes, through the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, working in conjunction with our faith in the blood of Jesus, baptism does indeed save those who are making an appeal for a clear conscience. Is baptism essential to salvation? Let the preaching and teaching of Christ's apostles provide the answer. I believe that when we do, we can see why one should take Jesus' own words without reservations. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Mark 16:16. It is my prayer that if you have not yet properly responded to the word of the Lord, you will heed the same words given to Paul. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. Have you made an appeal to God for a good conscience by being baptized into Christ? If we can help you, please let us know. If you'd like a copy, a manuscript of this lesson, we would be happy to send it to you. Just give us a call at 330-682-3896, and we'll get it to you as soon as possible. Until next week, may God bless and keep you.